Support for KDNK and Geek Speak comes from your membership and from Louis the Computer Guy providing PC and Mac repair, networking support, tutoring, and web design. Be secure, informed, and connected. 948-7992. And from Umbrella Roofing, providing roofing contractor services, gutter installation, and architectural sheet metal fabrication for the Roaring Fork and Eagle Valleys. Umbrella Roofing can be reached at umbrella-roofing.com and 704-9130. I'm your host, Matt McBrayer, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
How's it going, Matt?
Going good.
Good.
So
it's the moment we've all been waiting for. 25-minute discourse on password complexity.
Yeah.
That is unless a bunch of people call in.
Yeah.
963-2976. And come up with some more interesting and stimulating things to talk about. But you know what? It's really at the foundation of everything. And, you know, I suppose it's been a while since we've talked. I was composing a message to a client who he had been stricken with some malware. And he asked me, does this ever happen to your other clients, or have your other clients experienced this lately? And my response, I had to kind of chuckle. I went, my other clients have experienced that daily. And so actually, you know, I'm going to take just a second to read the message that I wrote to him, because I put a lot of thought into it. And upon reading it, you know, going back and rereading it, I went, wow, that's pretty darn good. Actually, if I can find it here. There we go.
So,
maybe not.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I was going to start out with the obligatory XKCD comic.
Okay.
So if you'd like to see this for yourself, look up XKCD and password strength. Just Google that string and you'll get in there and see the comic that goes through and talks about how the last 20 years of password choices have been wrong.
So, oh, that's awesome.
So it starts with a, let's see here, uncommon, non-gibberish base word. So, in this case, troubadour.
Okay.
And then,
using a capital T.
Using a capital T.
Zero for the O.
Yep. So caps, common substitutions, and then a, numeral and a punctuation order unknown.
Uh huh.
So we get, troubadour with the O and the A switched out for a zero and a four, and then a couple just random bits on the end, which gets you to 28 bits of entropy, which is how we measure password strength.
Okay.
So, and there's, if you go to the Wikipedia page on password strength, down at the bottom there, there's a table that shows, kind of if you just do numeric, how much entropy each digit is worth. If you do alphanumeric, how much entropy each digit is worth, and so on.
Okay.
But anyway, you get to 28 bits, and if you can guess 1,000 times a second, it's going to take a computer just saying, you know, is this a password, just doing that 1,000 times a second.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take about 3 days to figure out that password.
Okay.
Now,
which is still pretty remarkable, you know. It could, but, you know, on the other hand, it's kind of like, you know, so many other things where you're playing the odds, where, I mean, it could guess it in 3 hours.
Right.
Know, right?
Yeah, so
foreseeably take 3 days, up to 3 days, right, for it to guess that password.
So if it's going through in a random order, which, you know, so if it starts with A and B, mm-hmm, and C, if it's going through in alphabetical order, you know, it's going to take a little longer on average to get to capital T, mm-hmm, than to go through anything else.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, if it's just, you know, doing chunks randomly, it could be a lot less than 3 days. It could be up to, you know, 6 days to run the entire process.
Uh-huh. Got it.
So, and...
and hopefully your email server at, like, a certain point goes, okay, this guy's just tried too many passwords. We're just going to lock him out.
Yes, that's what... And so, I run a fail to ban on my servers for that reason.
Mm-hmm.
So after you ask it enough questions, it's like, no.
Yeah.
I'm not talking to you for
and
an
does
hour.
It, does it block by IP address?
Yes.
Okay. Very good. All right. Cool.
So, and that's something that's really difficult for us to remember, that those substitutions and the capital and the,
yeah,
the random stuff. That's very difficult for a human to remember. And so that password is not a good choice in password.
Troubadour isn't?
Troubadour with the standard substitutions.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. Well, darn, that's one of my passwords. That's one of my favorite passwords.
Yeah. So,
I'm just kidding.
So let's just, you could also go through, so, I like to use passphrases, which is basically four common random words out of the dictionary. Now I use a short dictionary of seven.
Wait. Random words out of the dictionary?
Yep. Just random words.
Okay. I get what you're saying. Okay.
So you all just, right.
Yeah.
Open it up and the first word maybe is correct. The second word is horse. The third one is battery. And the last one is staple.
Yarn, zebra, tire.
Yeah. Something like that. So
okay. Got it.
So that puts us at 44 bits of entropy, just picking those random words. And you've probably already memorized correct horse, battery, staple.
Uh-huh.
And okay. So it's very difficult for the computers to guess, since it has 44 bits of entropy. At 1,000 guesses a second, it's going to take somewhere in the neighborhood of 550 years for a computer to guess that password.
Nice. 500. That's amazing to me that the use of dictionary words. But then... So it's not really a matter of, never use a single dictionary word in your password. Always use multiple dictionary words.
Right.
And that's what like ups your entropy quotient, let's just call it.
Yeah.
And so for those listening, entropy is the definition of entropy is lack of order or predictability. And the even better part of it is a gradual decline into disorder, which doesn't exactly. I don't know how you would represent that in a password necessarily, a gradual decline into disorder. I suppose it could be, you could start out with words and then have misspelled versions of the words and then have it just kind of like turn into just a random jumble of alphabetical characters.
So the way I saw entropy characterized on a TV show on Discovery is, let's say you have a wind blowing over sand.
Okay.
And so if the wind blows long enough, eventually it could create out of that entropy a sandcastle, something that's ordered.
Okay.
But it's infinitely more likely just to blow the sand around and not create a sandcastle.
Okay.
So, given a long enough period of time, everything is essentially possible. Mm-hmm. So, theoretically, the wind blowing could create a little sandcastle, but the other higher entropy, less ordered things are infinitely more likely to happen.
Okay. Got it. There's actually online entropy calculators. I don't know exactly how that works necessarily, but I don't know how.
Yeah, it always kind of scares me to look at, because they have there's some password checkers, password strength checkers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, oh, I'm typing my password into some random website and hoping that they're not capturing that data and giving me, good information about how to choose a password. So I usually just recommend checking out the Wikipedia page on it.
Okay. So what was the one that you had, the horse stapler? What was that?
Correct horse battery staple.
Correct horse battery staple. I'm going to calculate the entropy on that.
It should be around 44 bits.
See if
bits.
I can bust you. All right. I'm getting there. I'm a very slow typist, believe it or not.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK 963-2976. If you'd like to talk about passwords or other security, or we can do some remote cable jiggling, whatever you guys need.
Okay. It says 3.33083814132 is the degree of entropy. How much did you think it was?
44 bits. I'm not sure the standard deviation or conversion.
Well, this is the Shannon entropy calculator. So I'm not sure who this guy Shannon is, or this girl. But anyway, I digress. So we just basically looked at the Troubadour. And then we talked about how to get up to 44 bits of entropy with the correct horse battery staple. Oh, looks like we got a phone call.
You're on with the geeks.
Yes, I have a question. My Messenger on my phone has started to put an answer into my drafts by itself, so that if I go to mirror to go to answer some of my texts, it's already got text in it. Is that something I can block somehow, or is that...
Huh. I'm having a hard time visualizing exactly what you're... So, I mean, what are these...
If I get it, for instance, the last one was an ad of some sort. And it generated its own draft reply saying, oh, I would be particularly interested in knowing about that. So all I would have had to do was hit a button, hit the send button.
Oh, okay.
Or intentionally, and it would have sent it. And it's not just on commercial stuff. It's happening on other personal texts also.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Matt.
Well, I just want to see, is this Android or iOS?
Android.
Okay. I will definitely let Matt field this one. Or I've got an idea, and that is, you know, like on the iPhone, iPhone has predictive responses based on what it is able to determine out of the text. It's kind of sounding to me like maybe does the phone have a few miles on it? Is it an older phone?
It's a couple of years.
Okay. Because it sounds to me like maybe there's a short in the digitizer on your phone, like in the area where the the save to drafts button is or something like that. Go ahead, Matt. You probably have a better idea. You know,
well, that's a good thought. Yeah. Now, is it?
This isn't part of the text per se.
So,
it's part of a response.
So I guess one question would be: is it like proper English, or is it like a random assortment of words that may be misconstrued as a?
Most of the time, it's proper English.
Okay.
This was a full row of characters on the one I'm talking about from the solicitation call. It was a full, might be the last thing on the text that came in, because I don't look at the text anyway.
Okay.
So it might be the last sentence of the text, but it has happened in constantly long strings, like you're saying, generate a response. And often there's a couple of letters there.
Huh.
Usually not full responses, but I'm just trying to figure out where in the world this stuff is getting into my drafts from.
Well, you know, I know this, that, you know, one of the basic rules of thumb with something that's that bedeviling, at least in the tech communities I've worked in, the first thing you do is determine whether it's a hardware or a software problem. And the easiest way to get there is to eliminate the possibility of a hardware problem, or eliminate the possibility of a software problem by like doing a factory reset on the phone, like back the phone up and do a factory reset on it. And, you know, make sure that something didn't happen, like that your preferences file or whatever didn't get corrupted, that's causing that behavior. And so if you do a full factory reset and restore on the phone and it's still doing the behavior, then you probably have a bad digitizer on the phone.
Because otherwise there's maybe an app on there that, a malware app on there that's trying to insert advertisements onto your... onto your text, which is not out of the realm of possibility, but I would kind of vote for the digitizer being the issue first over that, but it's certainly a possibility. So,
one of the responses was completely coherent with respect to the text I sent, but totally out of line in terms of what it was saying. If you know what I mean, on a personal
one. Well, I was going to say, I think you should get that fixed as soon as you can before something really bad happens in your personal life.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Something of that nature.
Exactly,
And the last time I did a clean install, it wiped out my email.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, fine. You know, I got one email back. Fortunately, I had a computer that had the email up, so I could come back through the computer with, because one of them is years old, so I don't know.
Yeah, exactly.
Password.
Okay. Well, that's, so, yeah, that's
anyway,
my, that's my best advice.
I figured it was one of those head scratchers probably, because I call them up, but they just tell me, no, it doesn't happen.
Yeah, so, for sure. Yeah.
Anyway, thanks for help.
Sure. All right. Take care. Bye.
You're listening to Geek Speak on KDNK, 963-2976. Yeah. So where were we?
Entropy.
Entropy.
So let's see. I think Donna, our foreign correspondent Donna Dalton's going to call in here pretty quickly.
All right.
Speak of the devil.
You're on with the geeks.
Hi. How are you today?
Good.
Good. You know, I don't have internet at home, and so I go to the library and sit down and use my computer. And so right now it's been trying to update Windows 10. And it's having a hard time doing so because I guess it's going to take a couple of hours. And I dread the idea of sitting at the library for a couple of hours.
Sure.
Or on my hotspot. But I'm going to do that. But anyway, here's my question. I'm concerned that Windows 10 brought in another web browser, that funny-looking E that I think replaces Internet Explorer.
Yep.
And another DVD player that has to be run through the internet, I think.
Well, there's definitely, so Edge, Microsoft Edge is going to replace Internet Explorer.
Oh, Edge, okay.
Yeah, so that's the dark blue E, the real flat-looking one, as opposed to the Internet Explorer, the traditional kind of light blue E with the kind of gold and silver swoosh through it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Let me insert at this moment, though, that Internet Explorer, and you know, this is for the benefit of everybody listening that's on Windows 10. Internet Explorer is still present in Windows 10. It's just hidden. And so probably your best bet would be to open up Microsoft Edge and Google or create shortcut to Internet Explorer YouTube, you know, video in Windows 10. And you can find a video on how to locate Windows Internet Explorer and put a shortcut down on your taskbar to it. And there's no risk to doing that, quite
well,
honestly.
Well, when is Internet Explorer going to be phased out, though?
Well, that's a good question, but I haven't heard any rumblings either.
So
there may be a moment where you won't be able to use it anymore, but for now, you can use Internet Explorer. And I have a ton of clients that are doing that, honestly.
Okay. Well, yeah, you know, so. I don't know how many people that have said that not to use, oh, don't use that. It can't be trusted. The old Internet Explorer. And, you know, I have phased it out. I'm using Firefox. And mm-hmm. so, and I've also been told I have too many web browsers. That's why I was saying, one more web browser. And
I have like 50, I have like 10 of them installed on my machines.
So, okay.
As long as they're not all running at the same time, as long as they're not slowing down the computer that way, I wouldn't worry about it that too much, because I have Opera, Firefox, Chrome, Chromium, Vivaldi, Firefox Developers Edition, Edge, and a few more on there.
So if I go to and put in a DVD and it decides to go to that, if it only does that if it has internet, it'll go to that Edge. And bring up another DVD player. But that's actually is there any difference? I mean, I like the one I have. I mean, it's fine. It's always worked. I'd never have a problem.
Do you have, is it the CyberPower?
Power
DVD or something like that that came with your computer? Yeah.
Yes, uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah, there is no argument one way or the other. Whichever one you feel more comfortable with, and I would almost say stick with that one, the Power DVD, just because I hate to see Microsoft pushing people around and tell them to use a particular app for something, you know.
That's just it. So, I hate being coerced, you know.
Yeah, like, yeah. It's big corporate behavior, you know, is what it is. So.
Okay, well, I guess that's part of it, isn't it, for now?
Yeah.
Yeah. What I used to play media back is a VLC player, and that's an open-source third-party. It'll play just about every kind of media you can think of.
So VLC player, you just have to go look, download it?
Videoland.org.
Okay.
So, but if you just Google VLC, it should be the first thing that comes up.
All right.
And it's a fairly clean interface, and it does all kinds of neat things, but it is a great media player in its own right. So it might be something worth looking at. But Power DVD or, you know, what Louis said is whatever you're comfortable with is fine.
Well, you know, I'm always open to trying something new, though, too. Okay, yep. Thank you.
All right, really have a good one.
Thanks a lot. Love your show. Okay,
thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, VLC player is an awesome player, man. That thing will play just about anything you throw at it. You know, it's, I can't say a bad thing about it. And
no.
The price, I mean, you can't beat that.
No.
So.
Oh, got another call. Okay. You're on with the Geeks.
Hey, Geeks, it's Donna. How are you?
Doing well.
We're good. I was starting to get anxious that you weren't going to call.
No, I was trying to, you know, squeeze in there. I was thinking about how difficult it must be to update Windows over a hotspot.
Yeah, because some of these updates are 2 and 3 gigs.
They're very big, and I would recommend anybody who has to do Windows updates try and find a place where you can actually plug into the internet instead of over Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
But especially, trying to do it at the library is going to be really lengthy time. And usually, you know, you don't get that much bandwidth at a library. For sure, over like your a little MiFi or something like that, that would take up a lot of bandwidth.
When you would want to, and if you're using a MiFi or something like that, you would really want to tell Windows that that's a metered connection, so it doesn't try to download the updates while you're on your MiFi.
Right, that's a good point. You know, I bought a laptop recently that is an HP Envy, it's called, and it has the ability to remove the or make it into a tablet. And have you guys tried one of those dual type laptops that's laptop and tablet?
One of my clients picked up one of the Surface 3s. I've just used it to, you know, load all the my software packages on there. So I don't know, it seems like a fine little machine. The pen works really well. It's very similar to my Android tablet in that regard. So.
Yeah, I didn't try a pen. I still have yet to take it into the... I accidentally went into tablet mode, though, and I was trying to figure out why my screen looked different. You know, the desktop. I'm like, what happened to my desktop? And what had happened was I had downloaded the latest Windows 10 updates, by the way, which took hours, and several restarts. And then apparently I must have gone into tablet mode because it took me a while to figure it out. But anyway, I would just, the whole Windows 10 update thing is, it's amazing how big they can get. So anyway, that's pretty much it. I was curious, Matt, what was the name of that one XKCD?
Oh, yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yep, XKCD. Let me see here. It is XKCD.com. And it's a webcomic of romance, sarcasm, math, and language. So, anyway, it's
really geeky.
It's very geeky. And sometimes they're just plain funny, and sometimes they're very geeky. So, but if you do XKCD and then password strength in your Google string, it will take you right there.
Okay. And the last thing I was going to mention is I did buy a digital antenna for my house here in Melbourne. And I was amazed. I just pointed it in the direction of where I thought Orlando was and stood at the window and just said, you know, try to get some channels. And I ended up getting 61 channels, like almost all of them, just sitting out my window through trees and everything. I'm really quite shocked, actually, at how good the antennas have gotten. And it was literally like, $30, $35 or something. It's plastic. It's amazing.
And this is for TV?
Yeah.
Digital TV antenna?
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Nice. And it even says it'll carry 4K and everything. I don't have a 4K TV, but
yeah.
The point is, it might be a foot, maybe a foot,
uh-huh,
or a little over a foot wide.
Yeah.
And
I'll tell you, I wish they had that around here. I would love to.
I think there are some digital transmitters around here, but I haven't tried it.
I suppose I should check it out, because I would love to. I mean, I use the actual, DirecTV so seldom, and if I could get my football games during football season out of the air, I mean, I would be all set, because I just have been noticing, it's like I spend more time gripping my Roku remote control than the DirecTV one by far,
It's right.
I get everything off of Netflix that I want pretty much anymore, so.
Yeah, I do too, but it is nice once in a while to have local news or whatever.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, especially for emergencies and things like that.
Yep.
Because otherwise there's nothing good on TV, and there's pretty much not very much on anyway, but... Anyway, I just want to mention these antennas are really getting good.
All right. Okay, well, I'll be your crash test dummy. I'll go out and get one and try it.
Okay.
Let you know how Western Colorado is doing with it. Hey, great to hear from you, Donna.
Thanks. We'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Take care.
Okay, bye. Yeah.
You've been listening to Geek Speak on KDNK. I'm your host, Matt McGuire, from Roaring Fork Help Desk, in studio with Louie the Computer Guy.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
Absolutely, Louie. Have a great week, everyone. We'll be back next Monday.